are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November 19th, Thanksgiving week. And today, the backstory of the dancing usher. That's right, we're going to hear from the dancing usher himself in an interview that I did last week. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, sports writer in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. You already knew that. Thanks for the listen. What's up to the new listeners? I'm thankful for all of you on this week of thanks that we're giving. Let's call it Thanksgiving. How about that? And welcome to the show. Spread the word. That's all we ask of you. Today, we're going to be previewing the game tonight at Little Caesars Arena against the lowly Cleveland Cavaliers. They're in town. The Pistons have a chance to run off a few wins here in these next couple weeks before things really get difficult in the month of December. And like I said, later on, we are going to hear from Shannon Sales. Who's Shannon Sales? You know who Shannon Sales is, the dancing usher of the Palace and now of Little Caesars Arena, a local star right here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks to Shannon for taking the time. And what's up to everyone who knows Shannon and is friends with Shannon or knows the dancing usher? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, by the way. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And then check us out on Facebook as well, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. If you've been following me on social media, you know that I've had a crazy weekend driving around the state of Michigan. Was at Michigan Stadium for the Indiana football game on Senior Day in Ann Arbor as the Wolverines got the win, setting up what I believe will be a pretty big game next weekend in Columbus, Ohio. If you're a Wolverines fan, good luck to your maize and blue on Saturday in enemy territory. And then on Sunday, as I did on Friday, I was at the Pistons practice facility up at the Palace of Auburn Hills in the parking lot there. If you don't know, the Pistons do still practice in Ann Arbor at the Palace, and got to talk to some of the guys. We played the John Lure interview on Friday's show, so check that out if you missed that on Friday. Also had Dwayne Casey, the scrum there. We put up a quick episode on Friday just because I had the audio and wanted to give you guys a little bonus episode of sorts. But then on Sunday night, raced over from Auburn Hills to East Lansing to see the big competitive game between the Michigan State men's basketball team, number 11 in the country, taking on Tennessee Tech. 101-33, I think it was, a 68-point victory for Michigan State, tying the program record for biggest margin of victory of all time. And that's a long time. A lot of great players, obviously, through the Michigan State program. My first time covering a Tom Izzo team, and it was great. I mean, I spent some time at Michigan Stadium and at the Breslin Center. I'm very lucky. I am very thankful to the Detroit News and also the Associated Press for sending me to these places, paying me for it, keeping the lights on here on the studio. And I just wanted to reiterate how lucky I am to you listeners for spreading the word. You know, we've got the Lions ending sometime mercifully in the next couple months. So obviously that's going to dry up a lot of the coverage that I do for the Detroit News. So we're going to be looking for some new sources of income as I try to continue living this dream life that I do, bringing you guys the Locked On Pistons podcast and writing for various outlets. So the best way that you can help is to spread the word to your friends about the podcast, the Pistons fans, and in your life. And also to send some referrals if you know any companies that want to sponsor us here on the show as well. We obviously, we do a great job of connecting to the Detroit sports fans, the males out there as well. So that's the goal. That's the resolution for us for 2019. Spread the word. Get those sponsors, all that good stuff as well. But I got an article on Detroit News and Monday's paper also online. Check that out. We talked about the visitors that came to the Detroit Pistons over the weekend. Saturday, Kevin Garnett, and Sunday, former Detroit Mayor Dave Bing was in the house. We talked to Reggie Jackson about that. We talked to Dwayne Casey about that. We talked about what happened in Grand Rapids, including Henry Ellenson breaking his nose. We don't have any word on how long he'll be out, if at all. Maybe he'll just throw the Rip Hamilton mask on and sit on the bench. I know he's not much of a player, obviously. So a lot going on with the Detroit Pistons. We had the guys playing in Grand Rapids, Khyree Thomas, Bruce Brown, and Henry Ellenson. Mixed results. Looks like Henry had a nice day on Friday night and a loss and a bad 2-for-16 performance in a win on Saturday against Canton, I believe. Bruce Brown looks like he filled up the stat sheet, as he does in various ways, and Khyree Thomas, a decent weekend for him as well. So we will see how those guys kind of grow, as you can expect that those weekends in Grand Rapids will continue for those guys as the season goes on for the Detroit Pistons. Dwayne Casey's making that a big part of his program. But better than me looking up a bunch of stuff about the Cavs, we figured we'd have Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs. He had me on his show to talk about the Pistons in advance of Monday's game. So we lobbed some questions his way as well from the last couple weeks of what's happened in Cavs land. And there has been a lot that has been happening in Cavs land. So leading up to tonight's game, here is Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs talking about the tumultuous few weeks that the Cavaliers have had. It's been a long couple weeks since the Pistons played the Cavs. It was the fourth game of the season. Pistons were 4-0. And if it seems like for Pistons fans that it's been a little bit of a roller coaster since then, it's been nothing compared to what's going on in Cleveland for the last 3 weeks. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, no problem. Happy to be back on.
For sure. So real quick, why don't you tell us, I mean, we've had a coaching change, we've had injuries, we have young guys coming into the starting lineup. I don't think Tristan Thompson was right that the East is going through Cleveland anymore. So what do you think about, I mean, where are we at right now with the Cavs?
It's interesting because the Cavs have had just a lot. I mean, there's been a slew of injuries as well. They're getting sued by a former assistant coach currently as well. So like that's
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts that was something that just like got lost in the new shuffle. But that's how crazy it's been. But I will say that of late, even with injuries that have happened, even with no Kevin Love to kind of be the leader, I do think Larry Drew's done a nice job of getting it be a little bit more calm. I think the group has come together a little bit. They're obviously still not very good. They have the worst defense in the NBA as of Sunday night. The fourth or fifth worst offense in the NBA right now. So they're still not good, but they're playing a little bit harder. They're playing a little bit more cohesive. I don't think it's quite as rough of an environment as it was even a couple weeks ago. That can obviously change. You know, they're coming off a pretty bad loss to the Wizards. I think for the younger guys, it was good to get a little bit of a break. They haven't played since last Wednesday. So this is going to be like a nice rested group coming in here. But it's been a little calmer of late, but it's also that was had to sort of happen unless they were just going to continue to be insane and just have something stupid happen about every day. But like to Larry's your credit, I think he's kind of the guy that's really done that.
And a lot of great local ties. The assistant coach is Jimmy Boylan, who local fans know from his time at Michigan State. And, of course, Larry Drew, the former Detroit Pistons first-round pick in 1980, played his rookie season with the Pistons before a little guy from Indiana was drafted by the name of Isaiah Thomas. Larry Drew was traded to Kansas City then. And so what about Larry Drew? What has impressed you or not impressed you so far with what he's been able to do with the Cavs?
Well, so number one, I come back a lot to the fact that I think the players as a whole trust him. I'm sure some people have read it, but there was this report from Joe Vardon of The Athletic that said that there were guys in the Cavs locker room that didn't feel like Colin Sexton knew how to play basketball, basically. And he got asked about it post-game, and he was like, look, I haven't read the whole thing and or whatever, but he's like, I know the gist of it. And like I went and told the guys that like we can't have that. Like that is not something that is going to be tolerated in this locker room. We're going to support each other. We're going to support Colin. And I think guys like Tristan, guys like, I mean, Kevin Love vouched for him pretty openly, but the last time he spoke to the media, at least in a public way, I mean, like he seems to have the trust of everyone. And I don't think that's an easy thing to have when you have such like a weird mix of guys. And you have guys at different stages of their careers, and you have like a team that is just not meeting expectations. And it took over for a coach who a lot of guys I don't think wanted to go and had good relationships with. So it's not been easy, but I think he's just a very calm guy in general. I think he's also just kind of simplified some of what they're doing. And I also think he's just kind of, he's been dealt a weird hand because like they don't have a lot of bodies right now. Like when Pistons fans will, and people just watching this game will see the Cavs are basically right now don't have any fours. Like Sam Decker is out, Kevin Love's out. They're playing David Nwaba as a four right now. Like Jetty Osman is like way too slender to be playing the four, but he is. So like you're gonna see a lot of two big lineups, which is like a sort of a not a lot of teams do. The Pistons obviously do it, but a lot of teams don't do that anymore. And it's not like it's Blake Griffin and Drummond; it's two bigs and Larry Nance and Tristan Thompson who just can't really shoot. It's tough, but I think to Larry Drew's credit, he's sort of just made the most of everything he's been handed to him and been really calm throughout it. And I think that's just all the Cavs really could ask of him after when and how they asked him to step in.
So for Pistons fans, shell-shocked to see Glenn Robinson and Stanley Johnson playing the four, a couple of threes there. David Nwabo is basically a two going up and playing the four. Pretty interesting situation in Cleveland. But Chris, obviously Kevin Love not going to be in action tonight against the Pistons, but is there any chance of George Hill, and do you expect Kyle Korver to play?
Kyle Korver will be back. He said over the weekend that he would play, and Larry Drew said the same thing. I don't think he will be back. It's possible, from my understanding, but Korver is definitely back. But thinking about what the rotation is going to look like, Larry Drew did say that David Nwaba is still going to play, and that was sort of how he got into the rotation in the first place, was filling in for Korver. So well, I have no idea. The other thing is we just don't know what the lineup's really going to look like, the rotation's going to look like, but Kyle Korver is going to be there, and pretty much everyone else that's healthy will probably play at some point in this game.
Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs, go ahead and check him out for the preview. I was on his show on Monday, and also the recap and see what he thinks about what the Pistons look like on Tuesday's show as well. Chris, going to give a plug and let the listeners know where to find you as well.
Yeah, find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWright. You can find all my work there. In addition to Locked On Cavs, I run Fear the Sword, SB Nation's Cavs site, and you can find my writing at Cleveland Magazine from time to time as well.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, and now we're being joined by Shannon Sales, better known as the Dancing Usher at Little Caesars Arena, formerly of the Palace of Auburn Hills, too. Shannon, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's go back. Let's go back to the early days. I think it was about 2011 or 2012 when the persona took off. Can you kind of take us through how it all started when you became the Dancing Usher and not just the Usher?
Yeah, it was... I would think the middle of 2011, I was went in to be an usher, you know, applied and became an usher. And the third day in as a usher, it was the third or the fourth day in, because they was normally doing the games and they would throw the dance cam on and go into the areas. And I was still new to everything. So about the fourth game, the dance cam came on. I'm standing there helping people to their seats, and I happened to look up and see the camera in my section. And without thinking, I saw myself up there, and I was like, hey, that's me, you know, on the Jumbotron. And I just broke out dancing for about 10 seconds, and before I knew it, 20,000 people started screaming to the top of their lungs, and I just realized, oh, what did I just do? You know, and I just stopped. I was like, uh-oh, I might get in trouble for this. I'm pretty sure that wasn't supposed to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, the entertainment department got in touch with my department and asked them, hey, if you don't mind, we would like to put the camera on Shannon. If he don't mind, anytime we put the camera on him, if he would dance. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I might get fired. So when my department contacted me and said, hey, the entertainment department said, if you don't mind dancing, they'll put the camera on you and you can dance. I said, sure, no problem. And before I knew it, they had me dancing every game.
And I love the fact that it's organic, too. It just kind of started as a thing that just kind of happened at a game one time, and that's a pretty cool start to the story. What about your story as a dancer? I mean, we've seen your moves at the Palace and at Little Caesars Arena now. Have you trained professionally? I mean, what's your background in dancing?
Oh, I have no training whatsoever. I'm all self-taught. I just like to, when people ask me that, I usually tell them I'm just a slave to the rhythm. I just love a good beat, you know, and I always, since a kid, like to dance. So that part is nothing new, but for the world to take over and see it, it's like, wow, that's a big compliment.
Right. And it became kind of a local nice story, and everyone was kind of started to get word of mouth aware of it at the games. But then in 2013, like you said, became kind of a world thing, and you went viral and ended up on the late night shows. Can you tell us about that story and how it all took off there?
Oh yeah, that was a great story. So actually, I went viral in 2012 first. This is crazy. I was at home and my boss called me. He says, you're on the TV. You're in New York. I said, no, I'm not. I'm here in Detroit. He said, no, you're in New York. I'm thinking he think I'm in New York, the way he kept saying it. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm gonna be to work on time. You ain't got to worry about that. I'm in Detroit. He said, no, you're on TV. You're on the Today Show. They running a viral video of you. I was like, oh. I said, I have no idea. I just didn't, take it to mind. So when I looked it up on the internet, it had a little thing going on with me on it. So I was like, well, that's cool. I ain't take nothing to it. I say, is it a prize to it? Do I win a car or something? $1,000? I had no clue. When somebody tell you on TV, what's going on? So, so it turned around. I ain't take nothing for it. I ain't think nothing more of it. Mm-hmm. And before I know it, I get a phone call. I answer my phone. And I think her name was April at the time. She said, hi, this is April from the Today Show. And I was like, okay, hey, how you doing? She was like, we was wondering if we can fly you in Thursday and have you on the show Friday, if you ain't busy. Now, at that time when she was talking to me, I was studying, I was studying Proverbs out the Bible. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, let me check my calendar and see if I'm free. So I took my phone and aimed it at my Bible and just started turning pages like it was my journal, like I was busy,
Yeah, check the schedule, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it was just my Bible. So I picked the phone up. I said, no, I'm free that day. She's like, I did tell you this Today Show. I said, yeah, you called me. I didn't call you. So, yeah, I'm free. If you don't make yourself seem important, sometimes people, it wasn't that I was cocky. I just had to let her know,
Juice yourself up.
So they flew me out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they flew me out and they did everything. They took care of me. It was really wonderful, man. I mean, experience I was not expecting, from taking tickets and saying, hey, you're in row 4, section C, to being on the Today Show. And after that, the following year it went viral again because 2012 I won the Today Show. Then I went on Inside Edition the same week. Mm-hmm. The following year I danced on camera against Antoine Alexander, a little kid. He was 11 years old at the time, 2013. And that just took off. It just went viral. Before I knew it, it was at 10 million views. And then I turn around, the Today Show contact me again and say, we have a contest with you, the best viral video of the year. And it was like 4 videos, and it came down to 2. And it was me and Alexander versus, I forgot the name of the group that made a song called What Does the Fox Say?
Okay, yeah.
So they flew that group to the Today Show, and then they flew us there. And people were voting online, and they said, well, we're going to announce the winner, live today. So we standing there next to them. Before I know it, they were like, and the winner is the Dancing Usher,
Mm-hmm.
So that went from there.
Uh-huh.
I go back home. I get another phone call. Hey, this is Jimmy Kimmel Show. I was like, huh?
out to the other coast. Huh?
So he's like, we'd like to fly you out. Thank you. Pay for your hotel, your airplane flight, everything, your food, everything. So I was like, sure. I said, I got to just let my job know.
I'm sure
I don't want to get fired. I'm on TV
too.
And they're like, yeah, but you got responsibility here. So, I'm still priority, because it's PR work to me.
Oh, it's PR work, absolutely. Especially 2012 and 2013. Those weren't exactly the best years for the Pistons on the court.
So I go there. Jimmy Kimmel comes out before the show started. He introduced himself to me. I'm like, wow, this is a great honor. Real down to earth guy. I mean, truly down to earth. He asked me if it was anything I wanted, anything I need. I'm like, I'm sure. Call the own the other Pistons, tell them I think I earned at least $3 million. You know, Pistons ain't winning. Yeah. I think I, you know, if I'm the talk of the town, not being cocky, I say, but it would be nice.
The biggest star.
He just started. Right. He just started laughing. He said, I see what I could do, you know. Mm-hmm. So after I performed on Jimmy Kimmel, CNN called me. After CNN, Good Morning America. And it just kept on. It was just like a spiral effect, you know.
And now the Locked On Pistons podcast. So you keep moving up the ladder in the media tour there. Well, so the original video was at the game in 2013, and you and Antoine, young man from Flint, I believe, 11 years old, big dude, and he has the great dance moves, and then the camera goes to you, and you guys had a dance off, and then kept having a dance off on the Jimmy Kimmel show as well. Are you still in touch with Antoine? He's got to be like graduating high school pretty soon. Age-wise these days. Do you know what he's up to?
I have no idea. You know, people ask me that all the time, and my rebuttal to their answer is, I say, no, me and him haven't went out to a strip club in a while. You know, and they just started off laughing. Because I don't know the kid. You know, it was literally, and I try to tell people, I say, out of all the people in the stadium, God chose Antoine Alexander, to be the one on the camera, you know. And I say, you know, he's a little overweight at the time, you know. Sure. I say, he probably was being bullied in school. Not saying he was. I'm just saying, whatever the reason God wanted him to be with me, that's what happened. Before I know it, he was back at school. He was a star. The news was following him in Flint from his house all the way to his school. You know, they was praising him for being on the show. And it was a good thing. I just say that was God's work. You know,
so well, in my opinion, it's time for a reunion tour with you guys, Antoine and Shannon, sometime soon, maybe at Little Caesars Arena. But talking about the new arena lately, it seems like the choreography has been getting better and better. Guests, I saw Buddha Edwards and Earl Cureton and you the other day at one of the games. What's been your favorite routine that maybe has happened over the past year or so, or maybe your favorite routine from Little Caesars Arena so far?
Well, my favorite ones, well, I have one favorite that I like a lot. It was, I got like half of the section I was standing next to on my left side. I made everybody freeze. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the top to the bottom, the whole section just froze. So I would point at them, they'll freeze. Point at them again, they'll start dancing. Point at them again, they'll freeze. It was just back and forth. They just kept freezing the whole section because I kind of prepped them. I say, hey, whenever they put the dance cam on, because I never know when the dance cam is going to happen exactly what quarter, and I never know the song that they're going to play. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part to me because I don't want it to come off as work. Mm-hmm. I want it to be spontaneous so I can just enjoy the music. So that's one of my favorite dance cams. And anytime you can just get the kids and anytime you can get kids up there or a parent that just came and probably paid $10, you know, and they wasn't expecting nothing. And then I pull them on the camera with me. Pistons might be losing, but that father or that mother that was with their child is the best thing. I'll never forget that memory. So those be the more so the best ones for me.
Yeah, like you said, even in a loss, you got a lot of in-game entertainment, and you are a big part of that at Little Caesars Arena as well. Is there some things that, I mean, when you kind of think back about how this whole thing has transpired kind of like organically, like we said, to where it is today. Do you ever kind of take a minute to reflect upon how you got, how it got to this point and how this crazy story has kind of happened over this past almost decade now?
Yeah, it's real easy not to be preaching. One day I asked the Lord, I say, I would really like to do something that can put some smiles on some people's face and make me feel good about myself, you know? And before I know it, a week later, I got hired at the Palace. So of all places, it would be called the Palace. Mm-hmm. That's how I looked at it. So, and then people ask me, well, you perform here. You've been on all these TV shows and radio shows. What is your goal? What's your inspiration? Why are you so lucky? And I say, there's no such thing as luck with me. I say, every morning when I put my clothes on, I make God look good on me. Mm-hmm. And that's my answer. I say when I speak, I make sure I make God sound good coming through me. I make sure God smells good because I got to make sure we clean. I say when I go to the movies, I make sure I try not to put too much salt on me and God's popcorn. I say, so don't worry about why I'm doing so good. Just make God look good on you. And that'd be my answer.
Well, that's a great
answer to this day.
That's a great answer, yeah. Shannon. Now, what about you in particular? What's the quick bio of Shannon pre 2011, 2012? He became the dancing usher. I understand you grew up in the city as well, too, right?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Detroit. Never left. I'm 51 years old now. So it's a real, it's not nothing long, you know. I've been doing security forever. So that was one of the things I've been doing. From hotel to hotel, doing security. So moving from security, I had a dance group that I was in. We would just do little weddings here and there. And then it went from there. Then I'd say, let me go on from security and being a parent and granddad. Let me go on and get a job at the palace. I wanted something different and try to spread my wings a little bit. And that's when I went to the palace.
Well, Shannon Sales, the Dancing Usher, you can find him on Twitter as well. The handle is The Dancing Usher. And I want to thank you for bringing the entertainment value up a couple of notches at Pistons games over the past decade or so. And good luck and continued success. And we'll see you soon downtown.
I appreciate it. And thank you all. Everybody that, and thank you for having me and everybody that's listening. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Shannon, I'll throw it out there too, that if fans ever see you at the game, you're a very personable and affable guy. So go and say hi to the Dancing Usher and get a picture as well.
Yes. Since 2011, I never turned down a picture, an autograph, a hug, and a handshake. All of it is free.
Thanks again to Shannon Sales, the Dancing Usher. Had a great time talking with him. And like I said, do find him at the arena and do say hi to him next time you're downtown. But the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net, and you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA teams on one feed. It is amazing during games, nice breaking news, and to get the local perspective on what's going on in the league. On Instagram, follow Locked On NBA Net also. We're giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories and longer cuts on the biggest stories on your feeds as well. So make sure to follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. That'll do it for the show on a Monday of Thanksgiving week. Thanks to Chris Manning of Locked On Cavs and the Dancing Usher, Shannon Sales. Give those guys follows on Instagram or on Twitter, all the other places that they talked about as well. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll have some more content throughout the week. We'll take Thursday off, but we'll be with you the rest of the week, probably Friday as well. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow.